Good morning.
Morning.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
That's the only reason I'm here this morning. Nothing is impossible. That further encourages me this morning. But as I stand before you, it becomes a greater and greater challenge to try to sing God's praises. Barbara Jane, they're going to let me try this one more time. This is one of our favorite songs. Christian's going to supply all the music.
I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can't take a soul that's sin-stained and make it white as the snow. But I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men, but I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you think no one can help you and your life is out of hand, I know a man who can. I can't walk upon the water or calm the raging sea. But I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open or make the lame to walk again. But I know a man who you think no one can help you and your life is out of hand, I know a man who can. Oh yes, I know a man who
very much. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Armstead's got the bag for us today. All right, do we remember the rules of the bag, everybody? Can't be alive. Can't used to be alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me, right? All right. A bag of diapers. The joke's on you because I'm keeping these. Oh, my. So fascinating. For those of you who don't know, ever since Joel was born, I have been keeping track of how many diapers I've changed. Because I'm fascinated by numbers. I changed 2,800 of Joel's, and I think I'm around a little over 1,000 on Nora. It's just a stage of life that we find ourselves in. Diapers collect a lot of things, don't they? And in the same way, we should collect a lot of things. Knowledge, we should allow God's love and grace to be absorbed into our minds so that we can help others. The possibilities really are endless as far as this goes. holy moly. So I want us today and always to remember our baptisms and be thankful. And to remember that God loves us and protects us and he supports us and he does for us those things that we cannot always do ourselves. All right? All right. Whew, that's done. All right. Who has not had the bag? And you haven't had the bag in a while, have you? All right, so I'm going to give you the bag. Yes, we don't need to talk about what it collects. So we're gonna pray, and then I'm going to keep these. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Lord, you are indeed great, and you take care of us just as a parent takes care of a child, and we are grateful for that. We thank you for these children, for what we have to teach them and what we have to learn from them each and every day, and we ask that you would help them to grow into the men and women you have called them to be. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, y'all can go to Children's Church. There you go. Forget that one for a while. Our scripture lesson this morning, as we have been looking at all month, is Philippians 4:13. We're going to be reading it today from the New Revised Standard Version, and it's a couple slides away for us, if you don't mind to go there. The New Revised Standard Version is one of those versions that is most near and dear to me. It was the version that was required reading for my college and seminary Bible classes, and so it's something that I've been with for quite a while. The New Revised Standard Version seeks to go line by line in terms of its translation and word by word, and where it has issue trying to figure out how to translate something from the original text to English, it will often use the King James Version for assistance in some of those more difficult passages in terms of the English. And so a New Revised Standard Version is what we're going to look at this morning. Now, we've spent the last 3 weeks in Philippians, and today is our last day to look at this passage, Philippians 4:13. And we want to just remember where we've been so far. So week one, we were reminded of being content in all things, right? Not being overly anxious or overly prideful in the things that come our way, and recognizing God's provision for us all along the way. The second week, then, we looked at the specific tasks that we are called to and how we are capable of doing those things that God puts in our path. And we are capable of doing that by his love and grace. And then last week, if you will remember, we recognized how we are anointed by God. Anointed for his divine work. We are anointed by the anointed one, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so this morning, as we consider all of that and as we bring all of that back to our minds, let us now consider this last aspect of this passage. And again, I'm going to read it from the NRSV, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day. For the time we have been able to spend in this passage, we give you thanks. We thank you now for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I've really been looking forward to this week, not just because it's the last time I'll preach on this passage for some years now, but because of the word that we're going to be looking at today. At the end of this passage, it talks about the one who strengthens me, this idea of strength and power. And it comes from the Greek word dunamis. That's the word that's here, and it means power or strength. And it's where we get our English word for dynamite. Now, who loves dynamite? Yeah. Does all kinds of cool stuff, doesn't it? It's also coupled with this word iskuo earlier on in the verse, which also means power and strength. And while they both talk about the power and the strength that we have, that we receive from God, in this passage and in other places where they come up, they also talk about the capacity of power and strength, the capacity that we have, the capacity that we receive from God, and the fact that we are capable of a great many things through God's love and grace. Now, as I mentioned before, dynamite is some pretty cool stuff. Now, if you can believe it or not, no one has ever really entrusted me with any, so I've never seen the effects of it firsthand. I've seen it on TV. I've seen some interesting stuff done with it, but who doesn't like to watch something get blown to bits, right? There's just something cool about that, right? Why, don't shake your head, no. I know you think, oh, that's pretty cool. In Louisville growing up, I didn't have access to dynamite. It certainly wasn't too prevalent, and certainly nobody trusted me with it, and they probably still shouldn't. But fireworks were very prevalent. Has anyone here ever been to Thunder Over Louisville? It's the largest fireworks show in the United States of America, maybe even globally. I'm not quite sure. And it is a fascinating sight to see. If you've never been, you should go. I think it's usually in April, near the end of April, maybe May. And it's fascinating. It's not just something that you see, but again, if you've been there, you feel it. Your entire body shakes and vibrates with all of these things going on. And it is a scene that just is sensed in every part of who you are as you are watching this. And there's something that draws us to this display of power, isn't there? There's something that just, we want to see more of it. We want to experience this type of power. There's something about it, a strange beauty in this destruction that fireworks, I think, capture very well. And as each one explodes, there's these array of colors and effects and things that happen. And in the same way this morning, when God's grace rushes in on us, there is excitement, there is power, and there is a sense of awe. Now, those of you who have experienced God rush upon you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's hard to describe, but it's dunamis. It is power. It is strength. It is something that we cannot hold within, but it must be shared. It must find a way out. This word dunamis indicates that Jesus strengthens us by blowing away those things that harm us, by blowing away those things that seek to capture us, that seek to chain us and keep us down. The grace of God literally blows us away. Has anyone ever been blown away by God's love and grace? And you can't help but recognize the power of what's happening. And what remains, what's left after this explosion of grace is the image of God within us as he's trying to take and remove all of these things that keep us from being pure and holy and righteous, the people that he has called us to be. And we must be willing to allow Jesus to strengthen us right? That's the one roadblock that often hinders us, is our inability to allow God to do this. Because allowing God's strength in us in this way implies a sense of death and destruction of the sin and the old self that corrupts, that imprisons, that tarnishes, that keeps us from being all that Christ wants us to be. It means seeking His will above all else, knowing that a part of me will have to die in order for that to happen. Right? Paul talks to us about dying to self daily, about putting things away so that they no longer hinder us and keep us from experiencing God in His fullness, that keeps us from experiencing this display of power on a regular basis. And only when we do this, only when we allow God in, can we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love us, sinners, condemned, and unclean. And we know how the rest of the song goes. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. There's power there. God's love is a purifying love meant to make us who we are truly meant to be. We are sons and daughters of God Most High. We have the opportunity to be co-heirs with Christ, to be recipients of all that God wants to give His beloved Son. We can share in that. We can take part in that. But not until we die to self. Not until we allow the strength of God to destroy that in us which is evil and bring to light that in us which is God's image, which is good and pleasing and beautiful. And this can be messy, right? This can be difficult. But Jesus is there to help pick up the pieces of our shattered lives and remold us into His perfect will. If we will allow Him in, there will be some difficulty, because as the potter is seeking to form this clay, there has to be at times a remolding, a destruction, a taking away of something in order to build us back up, to make us who we were created to be. And there's a beauty in that that we can see if we're looking. And usually we see it in the hindsight, how God has brought us through something messy, difficult, seemingly unimportant or strange. And then when we see it on the other side, we think how beautiful, how marvelous, how wonderful. I'm going to ask us a question this morning, and one that I'm sure we all will say yes to. But how many of us have ever known how to fix somebody? If this person would just do this, everything would be fine. If this person would just listen to me, I could get everything straightened out. How many of you, honestly, have sat around the dinner table talking with friends or family, if so-and-so would just do this? Come on. I need an amen on this one. I know we've been there. How many of us have sat in the TV room or in the living room, and we've sat around the couches and we've thought, if so-and-so would just do this, they would just listen to me. You want to grab them by the shoulders and shake them. Listen. All of us have known how to fix someone from time to time. And part of me thinks that Jesus is with us, dynamite in hand, just waiting to fix us. Just waiting for us to finally say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, take this from me. Lord, help me. And then, boom! Sorry, I didn't mean to wake you. I apologize. And then, boom, it happens. His grace comes rushing in, Pentecost style. Jesus is pretty subtle. The Father can be pretty subtle, but there's nothing subtle about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit rushes in, you know it's happened. And I often wonder, as I'm living life, how often the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are sitting around the table thinking, I know how to fix Matt. If you would just let me do it. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. God is ready. Jesus is ready. The Holy Spirit is ready to blow away those parts of us that harm us, those parts of us that don't seek Him, those parts of us that are selfish, that are prideful, that are arrogant, that refuse to listen. He's ready to blow these things away. And once the way is clear, once it's happened, we wonder how we ever lived that life before that ever happened, don't we? We wonder how in the world did we even exist or live before He cleared this path for us? Jesus is more than ready to strengthen us this morning, to blow away the obstacles that we put up. Will we let Him? Will we invite that? The strength of Jesus, the strength that Paul is talking about here, is most fully evident in our lives when we can honestly be content in all things. And I'm not saying here about being comfortable with the way things are. I'm saying that we recognize what God has done, what He wants to do, what He doesn't want to do for us, and we're okay with it. Because our faith and our trust is such that we know that whatever it is, He's going to see it through, and it's going to be better than we could have imagined. Being content in all things, submitting to the specific tasks He has called us to, and then finally recognizing that we are anointed by the Anointed One, as we considered last week. This is when Christ's strength is most fully evident in our lives, when we're doing these things, when we're living the Philippians 4:13 life that we have been called to. The power, the strength, the dunamis that created all things is at our fingertips. The power of the universe is pleased to dwell within us. Let that sink in for a second. Father, Son, Holy Spirit want to be with us. Will we allow this power to change us so that we can change the world? Will we allow the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to blow away those things that harm us? Power, as we know, and dynamite as well, can be dangerous in the wrong hands, right? Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. It can be dangerous in the wrong hands, but in God's hands, it is life-saving. It is grace-giving. It is all-sufficient. It is ready and waiting to wipe the slate clean and make us new. How marvelous. How wonderful. And I hope that our song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is our Savior's love for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your strength, for Your power. We thank You for how You tenderly come to us, inviting us to be made whole, to be made clean, to be made perfect. And Lord, we thank You for that immediate action when we accept it. We pray that You would continue to guide and lead us as Your people, that You would continue to guide and lead each and every one of us as individuals to make that decision to follow You, to allow You to blow away those things that harm us. And Lord, may we strive to do Your good work, to be Your people, to put Your will above our own. We ask all these things in Christ's name.